Welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where they're open 24-7, serving hot, fresh food. Hi, Moan. Still in California.
Still be on the way home soon, though, okay? So, let's go.
Yeah, it's a dad-type vacation, as Ramon has reminded us, and those are really exhausting. Just go with me on this one for a second. They're exhausting. They are not at all vacations, are they?
No, they are not. You go on vacation for them, and I'll be honest with you, walking these parks in this city, all I have been saying is, when dad needs a moment, y'all better not ask me a question, don't have me do anything, don't text me, because I've poured into you guys, okay? So when I need a moment, give me my moment after this week, DK, is all I'm asking. So you get it.
Yeah, absolutely. The Steelers are still, oh my goodness, it's almost a month away from training camp. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really dead period in the NFL. And one of the things we're going to be doing on this program on a regular basis is isolating on a specific player and the expectations that exist for this player going into this season. And when I brought this subject up with you before the show, you brought up, of all people, Ryan mm-hmm. Shazier, who's obviously no longer with the team. But Moan, he's still not been replaced after all this time and all that effort.
Yeah, the ghost of Ryan Shazier. You knew what it was going to be when you drafted. I'll be honest with you. I'll be completely honest. When I saw him get drafted first round, I didn't watch a whole lot of Ohio State football anyway. No disrespect to him whatsoever. I just didn't watch a whole lot because I had my own career to kind of look at. But I didn't realize Shazier was, you know, that good at Ohio State. And when he got to campus, when he got to training camp, I realized it. I was like, oh, you were a little bit different.
Day one. I saw you guys out there, and I saw the way the coaches mm-hmm. and everybody were locking in on 50, and it was just – there was something there that we hadn't seen on the first day of a training camp since Maurkice Pouncey, where you just go, what the heck is that?
Yes. The way he ran, the way he moved, how agile he was, his playmaking ability, although he was messing up here and there, you saw it from day one, man. And so I think whenever we saw it as players, we talk about it. And then the fans start to see it themselves also at training camp, man. You have this guy that honestly looks like a basketball player, although a little bit shorter, long arms, speed like a freaking wide receiver. And then not only that, he gets on the field and he starts making those plays. The smarter he get, I always tell people, he came to work in a business attire with a satchel on him and fully dressed like he was going to a business meeting every single practice, man, every single day. And so it translated on the field whenever it caught up to him mentally. And when he got injured, man, it really turned into a, if we can be real, it was, and Vinny kind of said it, man, he said, you know, we're trying to use three guys to do what one guy did. Shazier could tackle head on. Shazier could cover just like a DB. Shazier could also read and break down plays and create turnovers. Like, you had to find three different guys to do what one guy did. And to this day, you're still looking for that guy. If we go back to, what was it, 2018, when they went and got Devin Bush. What was the idea of 2018? Was it 2018 and 19? When they went and got Devin Bush. Why? Because he was fast like Shazier. He could drop into coverage like Shazier, and he had the tenacity of him. And you come to find out, he's just not Ryan. And
no, he's not. No, he's not. I mean, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the arms, because of all the things that made – I mean, Shay obviously was a physical freak in a lot of senses with everything. But the arms – Moan, take this from somebody who covered Michael Phelps at three different Olympics. Those are the only that's the only other set of arms that I've seen comparable like that. Meaning there's other people obviously with longer arms, okay? If you're a 7-foot center in the NBA, you've got longer arms. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, for the proportion to the body, Shay would cover like an acre and a half just by putting his arms out.
Yeah.
And that on top of everything else that he brought physically, the first time that I met Devin Bush and interviewed him was on the field at Heinz Field. This was at one of those training camp settings. And it was like, I mean, I'm 6'2", and I'm like, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking down at the guy, like way down, and I'm going, what are we talking about here? This isn't going to be Ryan Shazier's replacement. Yeah, now, he can cover. He can do, you know, handle guys, cut off the screen pass and stuff like that. But he's not going to be that.
No, he's not, man. And go look at some of the tackles that Shea made. And he reaches his arms out and he just grabbed them, just like, just bring them in. And that was just, he was a one of one. And I'm hoping this year that with Devin's speed and Miles Jack tenacity and everybody else is going to play a part in that room, that we find that, because we're still looking for it. And maybe this is the year that Devin Bush kind of proves it to us, that he's worth him moving up, you know, Kev them moving up to go grab him. And I think that's been the biggest, well, what is Devin Bush question we've had is, well, we moved up to go get you. And I think that's a fair assessment to kind of attach that to a guy to be like, man, hey, you got to start pulling your own. Like, you're a top 10 draft pick. And we see what a top 10 draft pick is with Minkah Fitzpatrick. We see that. And I think it was well worth it to go get him. And now we're at that point to where it's like, help us out here, Devin. You know, make a case for yourself. Make it hard for us to not franchise you or bring you back next year, because if you don't get on now, you probably get a 2-year deal with another team, or Pittsburgh brings you back after the fact of, you know, free agency. And I like Devin, man. I think the kid can play. I will relate this to the fact that he tore his ACL. And, you know, this has to be his bounce back year for a lot of different reasons.
Oh, that's, you know, the ACL is the thing that you're almost, in an ironic way, pinning your hopes on. You're hoping that this is the reason that he fell off the way he did last year. I'm sure it was, it was significantly to blame. What makes me believe that more than anything is that at no point in the 2021 season did he lose the head coach. And there were plays visually that the most common fan anywhere could have seen. It looked like either lack of effort or lack of stick-to-itiveness. And these are not traits that we saw from Bush as a rookie at all. So the fact that he didn't lose the head coach through that has me – go ahead.
You know who else didn't lose the head coach whenever they had a bad slump? Hmm. And we just talked about this guy, Chris Boswell.
Do you remember the funk
he went into? Yeah, so much so that he basically went to IR.
Yeah, and they ended up paying him, and they're going to end up paying him again. And when the head coach believes in you, you got to do a lot to lose it. Okay, I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is based on a 20 years of covering this team. Whereas on the other spectrum, if you don't have him yet, he will make you work to earn it. Am I right?
Yes, he will, man. So what a guy like Devin is who we're talking about again, that, you know, is the ghost of Ryan Shazier is what we're chasing. If you hadn't lost Coach Tomlin, and I think a lot more people starting to understand just how good he's been at his job, then I think that says a lot about the players he kind of believe in, like a Devin Bush, like a Chris Boswell, like a guy like myself, that he'll give you your shot to unprove him more than anything.
When we come back, what's a reasonable expectation for Najee Harris statistically in 2022? Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Najee Harris got almost an audible round of laughter around his locker stall a couple weeks ago when he said to a group of us that he was being told that his touches would be cut back in 2022. No one believes this. Everyone knows this head coach's history, the whole run the wheels off of them. He didn't exactly save Le'Veon Bell for his next phase of his NFL career. So do you believe it, Moan? I mean, he had an unbelievable number of touches. Am I right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
307 rushing attempts, 94 targets. 94 targets for a running back. This is passing.
So we had a conversation earlier this week about Deontay being overvalued, undervalued. And when I saw Najee's targets, just targets, 94, Well, that's one of the ways you can be undervalued right there, because your wide receiver isn't utilized right. But it also, I think, stakes the claim to the fact that Najee's very special for him to get that many. Whether they were dump offs or whether they were route call plays for a running back, that says a lot about the ability of him having that many thrown in his direction. If I was Najee and the idea that he would have his touches pulled back, I would embrace that young man simply because if it's that many receptions and that many carries, there's a whole lot of banging on your body. That is one of the few positions where you hit almost every single time that you're touching the ball.
Yeah.
If you catch a ball out of the backfield, the DB or the linebacker has a free shot on you. When you get the ball to carry it, you're also being hit by defensive linemen and linebackers that are shooting at you like missiles, too. That would be great for him. Again, Coach Tomlin hasn't necessarily shown that to be his recipe. Maybe he's learned from it and the fact that maybe Najee is just that special that he want to keep him around a whole lot longer.
Yeah,
I don't really know what to say about his approach to it, but man.
Yeah, Najee had 1,200 on the money. Exactly that figure, 1,200 rushing yards last season, 467 receiving yards. So he was already at around, 1,700 total yards. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to blow through 2,000. And I don't mean top 2,000. I mean blow through 2,000. It's his second year. He's got an offensive line that's getting paid. But I do feel like the subject of his usage is valid because – well, for two reasons. One, I don't believe for a second that the head coach is going to ease up on him. This head coach thinks about nothing other than next Sunday's game. Yeah. He doesn't do anything in terms of the way he utilizes players to save them even for the following week. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not pitching, in baseball where you're monitoring pitch counts and stuff. Not with this guy. And the second thing is there's no RB2. I mean, how can you say that you're going to cut his reps if you don't have a backup that you can count on to be that guy and sustain the offense? And I'm not being mean to Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland, the UDFAs. I'm not. I'm just saying you don't have that player.
Yeah, but I'll also say this. I hope this was an opening act for Najee as far as seeing what he could do. And let's say the early part of the season, you put Anthony McFarland in. You put Benny Snell in more so that it is running back by committee in a sense. To me, as far as Najee goes, man, can I say this? And I can understand your frustration a little bit now. And I hope this changes next year and moving forward, however long MC stays in Pittsburgh. I don't want an offense where my running back is getting 90-plus targets, okay? I'll just say that it's way, 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 way too much talent as far as wide receivers and tight ends go for a running back to have that many targets. I don't want that type of offense, whether he'll blame it on the quarterback last year as far as Ben's concerned, or whether it was, look, that's the way the offense is built. I don't want that. It's too much talent. You got to be, for you to be an NFL offensive coordinator, your mental capacity and what you call plays, and not just yourself, but your staff, has to be more complex than 94 targets or 90-plus targets to a running back. We don't live in that world anymore. And unless it's just set up screen plays, we don't need to have that many targets when you got that many guys that we expect can be. I'll say this. Chase could possibly be the number one for a team. Deontay is possibly the number one for an NFL team. You throw in George Pickens also. You throw in Freiermuth also. What are you missing as far as the targets to be spread around? It shouldn't go through a running back like that. Respectfully, Najee.
No, and we can't forget about Calvin Austin, too, the fourth rounder who has breakaway speed and who might be the guy that you'd want to be throwing those passes to. When we come back, it's Hey Mo. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. It's time, as always, for the ever-popular Hey Moan segment. And we have a guest here at the DK Pittsburgh Sports headquarters and shop. Richard Weber is here to ask you a compelling football question, Moan.
Let's go.
Ramon, hey, we miss you here in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Richard, I miss you guys too, man. Hey. I appreciate you hopping on.
I know. I can't believe you didn't stay in Pittsburgh. I always thought you were kind of a Yinzer, you know, all the way through.
I was close, Richard. I'm telling you, I still have a place there. I got to raise my kids, okay? After that, we'll see what's going to happen.
Okay, how do you like this new guy, Damone? I want to say his name, Damone.
DeMarvin.
Vic DeMone. Yeah, that's right. I mean, is this guy going to – man, we need some help on that O-line. You know, yeah, I don't think you're coming back. So what do you think of this guy? Is he going to be what we need?
He's going to be a young – he's a young defensive lineman, and I'll say this. He's under Cam Hayward. So being that he's under Cam, Cam's going to challenge him as much as he possibly can. I've seen him do this with other guys. He's one of those guys, he's hard but fair when it comes down to earning your stripes inside of that defensive line room, inside of being on that team too. And not just that, you ever met somebody that kind of just edge you on a little bit? Just, hey, go get it. Go do this. That's Cam, okay? Wow. With Tua retiring, somebody's got to step up to the plate. Yeah, you're right. You know, and hey, I'm all for a guy when you know it's time. I'd rather you just bow out instead of holding on to something that you're not fully into. So I really salute Tua for being able to, you know, really bow out like this. This kid, he's coming from Texas A&M. He's a young guy that's played in the SEC. I know a lot of people say,
beat Alabama.
beat Alabama and played a whole lot, too. He has the size. I've watched some of his tape, man. He's one of those mean kind of, you know, aggravating type of guys to go against. He'll have to learn this. He'll have to learn leverage. He'll have to learn his hand usage. And he'll have to also learn to just play your role. He was in a position at Texas A&M to where he was going to make plays. And our defense, the way the Steelers go, you will probably make zero tackles in a game. But as long as you hold your gap, as long as you keep the linebackers free, because we know this, Pittsburgh always has linebackers, outside linebackers and inside linebackers too. He's able to do those things in his first year and not get bullied. He'll be fine, and he should be able to help this team.
He can't be backing up.
No, he can't be backing up. And I'll say this. We can't expect him to come in and get 10 sacks on the year. He comes in and get 20 tackles on the year, maybe one sack, make a TFL or two. He'll be fine. It's got to be to a point to where there has to be a guy or two. And I know they have Larry Ogunjobi, too. They signed a free agency.
He could surprise, couldn't
he? He could. We got to make sure that that his injuries are a little bit behind him. But just in general.
Bears walked away from him, right?
Cincinnati did.
Oh, that's right. Cincinnati did.
But he played well, and he got injured at the wrong time, which is why you see him signing a late veteran deal the way he did right now.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'll tell you what. We'd love to see the Steelers kind of take it up a notch this year.
We
miss you here in Pittsburgh.
I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my question.
Good luck out there in California.
It's nice.
All right, man. Talk to you.
See you, Richard.
That's funny. Thank you very much.
There's another candidate. The way he sat down in your seat, DK.
It was authoritative.
I'm glad you saw it. You got to start like protecting your spot, DK.
Yeah, there was a dethroning sense about it. Are you coming home? Not coming home. You're going back tomorrow, right?
Yes, I can't wait to go back, DK.
Well, safe travels to you, my friend. We'll do one more of these tomorrow this week.
Thank you.